Welcome back to the second hour of the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show right here in beautiful Tucson, Arizona. It's daylight. The weather's perfect. Good day for a swap meet at Tucson Speedway. It started this morning about 5:30. I was going to tell you about it at the first hour, but that was only 6 o'clock. And for the people struggling to get their butts out of bed this early, it's no sense in harassing you. They've got a big swap meet going on out at Tucson Speedway this morning. Started at 5:30. Opened for viewing, actually, I think it's about 6:30 to 7:30. You know, I went out last year early. I got there, and you just go on in. And it's big. It'll run to about 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's Tucson Speedway. There's no parking fees or anything like that. So if you're looking for an antique car, a bunch of antique parts, it's a big automotive swap meet, and it's big. And the weather's going to be perfect. So go on out and enjoy it this morning at Tucson Speedway. And that's out on at South Houghton. Just go South Houghton to, what is that, Rita, I think it is, or something like that. Not Rita, Dawn. And go on, hang a right, go in, and you'll find it. Tucson Speedway, swap meet, Tucson Speedway. Started at 5:30. It's presented by Tucson Street Rod, so Bruce Tannenbaum, and the space for the to set up is $30. If you're selling a car, it's $30, but the regular fees, you know, that's it. That's pretty much standard. So go out and enjoy. Get out, enjoy, because it's not going to rain today like it did the last 2 days, and that's a good thing. All right. Now, Jim?
Good morning.
This is the second hour. It's time for you to... Ta-da! Okay.
Ta-da. Hey, so I'll go over this real quick. Live call-in talk show, folks. You can join us here, 520-719-1490. Super Safe Saturday, again, back for Super Safe Saturday again. That means no drinking and driving, no texting and driving. Move over, slow down for vehicles with flashing lights. We covered that in the first hour. If you're working on your car, remember your jack stands. Remember, if you're jacking up the car, remember to chalk your wheels. Remember your safety glasses and your gloves. Always put your safety glasses on. Remember your hood props so the hood don't fall on your head. Remember to put your keys in your pocket. Remember to disconnect electrical and keep your long sleeves away from moving parts. I was going to say something about the antique car shows. I don't know if you guys know this out there. Probably a lot of you do, but I'm going to say it anyways, just in case you don't know. Sometimes this is a real kicker. You have Jerry's classic, Jerry's Mustang, and it's a 1967. And in the state of Arizona, your car is 19, it's a 68. Okay, perfect, even better. So if your car is 1967 or newer, it's required to meet Arizona emission standards per the year model that it was built. That means if you got a 1980 Camaro and you took the smog pump off, you got to put it back on to register in the state of Arizona. So everybody does the deal. Everybody has this little maneuver. I'll register mine in Benson, or I'll register mine in Sarita, or I'll put it in some place where I don't have to register it, right? Where emissions aren't required, because they're only required in metropolitan Tucson and metropolitan Phoenix. But I don't know if you know this, but it comes with a different type of tag. And law enforcement can tell if you're from outside of the Tucson area, so they know if you paid emissions. It's a very visual thing. It's the reverse colors, right? They're black and white versus white and black. Anyway, so the point of this is in case you don't know this, if you have classic car insurance, you can get an exemption for no emissions. Now, how do you get classic car insurance? Well, you go to somebody like Hagerty, and I was sitting here looking at Jerry's car, the swap meet thing, and I saw it on here. Hagerty Hagerty Insurance. You can go to somebody like Hagerty, or there are several people that sell classic car insurance. Okay? So classic car insurance for classic cars. So what constitutes a classic car? 25 years or older. 25 years or older, you can get the copper plate. It says classic car. 25 years or older, you can buy classic car insurance. Now, that being said, it's probably a little more expensive than your normal State Farm, Allstate, Geico, Car General, whoever that might be a little more expensive than that. But if you have a modified car,
no, it's not, Jim.
Oh, it's not. Okay. So if it's not more expensive, if you mm-hmm. want to circumvent that rule, you can. It's an easy circumvention. Nobody tells you about it. Mm-hmm. They will not tell you about it at MVD. But if you go down and say, "I have classic car insurance. Here's my car. Register it. Done." Now, you'll get a bunch of groans and grinds and, you know, oh, wow, you can't. No, it's the rule. Classic car insurance, 25 years old, register car. And it's not – I'm not saying that we should circumvent emissions. What I'm saying is that sometimes older cars like Jerry's Mustang, a 1968 Mustang, sometimes the CO is just a little too high. The hydrocarbons are a little just outside the realm, right? Not because it runs bad, but it doesn't get run every day. Sometimes they're just a little bit too high. Just saying. So when you're out there, and if you don't know that, I'm going to put it out there because, you know, it's a way to keep your classic vehicle rolling. And because Jerry will tell you, like I'll tell you, letting them sit is harder on them than running them. If you let them sit, you're going to get all
kinds of things. Absolutely.
You get the water leaks. You get oil that's depleted from the electrical system or from the engine system from the lifters. You need to take them out and run them just a little bit. You don't have to run them every day. That's why there's classic car insurance, because it's designed for a car that's not ran every day. So you can still drive your car on the road legally. You still get the benefit to take it to the car show. You know, once a month or once every 6 months. And then you still get to have your car registered. And if you want to just jump in it and take it down to breakfast on Sunday morning, you're good to go. So I just throw that out there because people know about it, maybe people don't. But it's kind of a workaround. And you know, sometimes we need a little loophole. We always look for loopholes in certain little rules. So, and as far as when you're buying cars, folks, I don't care if it's electric, gas, if it's natural gas, if it's a new home, there is a component to buying a car that people don't think about until after they bought the car. Where do I get it fixed? Where do I get the oil changed? Where do I get it fixed? And folks, let me tell you something about running a fleet of trucks. If you are not friends with the guy that works on your truck, you are going to have a long, long car ownership. If you go in and your vehicle has to go to the dealer for service, and they do, because the dealers sometimes have the software or the ability to get it.
Okay.
He's not doing the dishes. He's thumbing through his notes so he can help me out here. So
actually I was getting a cup of coffee.
That's okay.
Hey, that's what you get for wearing expensive headsets.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Sorry. Let's go on. I was enjoying it. I mean, I put it on during a break and I forgot to hit the trigger that fires it off to do it. So
okay.
That's what happens when
you
get old.
You.
You forget this stuff. Okay.
See, I wish I had one, Jerry.
Continue, Jim.
I have the cheapy headset and I need to get a good headset because you can't hear me. Maybe you can. I don't know. And some people say you can hear me, you know, moving. And I try not to. I try to sit still.
We thought maybe you were making breakfast there, Jerry. I thought we were going to come over or something.
I was getting hungry.
Oh, okay.
I was getting hungry. I was hoping there were some pancakes there.
Would you guys get back to the program?
Okay.
I can smell the pancakes already, Jerry. Maybe a little bacon, sausage. Uh-huh. Anyway, so uh-huh. if you're buying a car, you know, and you're thinking about a new car or even used car, gas, electric, whatever, big truck, little truck, having a place to have it worked on is paramount. And if you are uncomfortable with the guy that's going to work on your car, it's not going to get worked on. So and availability. So in the last hour, Jerry was talking about, producer was talking about electric cars, Rivians. You know, Rivians are neat little cars. Got to take them to Phoenix, get them worked on. So if you don't want to drive to Phoenix or have your vehicle trucked to Phoenix and be out of it, then that's not the car for you. I'm not just picking on Rivian because there's a lot of cars that we tow to Phoenix for service work.
I've had a car towed to Phoenix for service work.
Right, for service work. And it could be a gas car, it could be an electric car, and because that's where it has to go. So I only say this because when you're in the buying process, when you're looking at your car and you wanna think about all the things what color it is, and you know, does it have room for everybody? Does it have room for all my stuff and all my junk? Does it have room, you know, can I carry a 2x4 inside of it? Can I, you know, will it fit, you know, 6 car seats? You know, can I go camping with it? You know, whatever you're going to do with it, remember that at some point in time, it's going to get worked on. And there isn't any car out there that I know of that doesn't going to need service work. And that includes every manufacturer out there, including electric cars, gas cars, CNG cars. They all have to be maintained. Yep. They all have to be worked on. So if you're uncomfortable with the service department, which, you know, that you should be investigating, then you're going to have a poor experience. However good the car is, you're going to cringe taking it to them. Because when you walk in there, you're automatically going to have this preconceived notion that they're not going to treat you right. Their customer service is going to fail. I don't care if they're the nice people on the planet. Your preconceived notion of what's going to take place is that they don't like you, that your car is going to get worked on, everything's going to get taken out of it, they're going to wreck it, they're going to take it out, they're going to be the guys like, what was it, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, when he parked the Ferrari in the garage and the two guys, two garage workers got out and took it for a test drive for 400 miles, right? That's what goes through your mind. Oh, they're going to take it out and they're just going to run it. Well, whether they do or not, it's irrelevant. You think that's what's going to happen, so your overall experience is going to completely be horrible. So I say this because when you go to buy the car, and if you're buying it off Carvana and you have that thing drop shipped in, and you're two thumbs up that it's the best car on the planet, and you know you still got to get it worked on. Whatever car you buy from Carvana, you still got to get it worked on. You know, at least if you go to somebody like Lenz, he'll tell you in advance, okay, here's the deal, here's what we do, and here's my guy. Or you know what? Do you have a relationship with this guy? Because this is where we need to go. Or do you like the Chevy dealership? Or do you like the Ford dealership? Or do you like the Tesla dealership? Yes, yes, no. Or no, no, yes. Okay, great. Then this is the model we need to get you in. Because I guarantee you he's not going to want to hear that overall experience is good, except for I had to take it and get it fixed, and I didn't like that. So it's a key buying factor that is often overlooked just because we never think about, you know, where we're going to get it worked on. And today's cars, like Jerry was saying, not so much for electric, but, you know, for gas, if you don't change the oil in that thing, it's the life of the car is going to be shortened, and I mean immensely. The tolerances are too tight that it will not, it can't take it. The computers are reading so many variable features on the vehicle. And Brian could tell you, you know, get on there when there's 23 computers and they're measuring every single item on the car. You know, fuel pump pressure inlet, fuel pump pressure at the rail, exiting fuel pump pressure, cam timing. Oh, where is, you know, cam timing? My gosh, there's so many variables on cam timing. You know, what is our cam at? Did we advance it? Did we retard it? Is the phaser working properly? What's the oil pressure at the phaser? You know, crank sensor, ignition, all of the things. Oh, wait, And then let's tie that into the transmission, which with 10 speeds, so we can figure out what gear we need to be in based on the load of your of the gas being pushed down. So just saying, there's a lot of things that go on that you need to be aware of. And if you aren't comfortable taking it to a guy, to a person to get it worked on, then you're going to have a problem. Or you're going to have a short life car, or you're going to get rid of it because it's going to break down, and you're not going to want to take it to get it fixed. And
hey, Jimbo,
folks, I've towed a lot. Yes, sir.
You do a lot of towing, right? Does the insurance cover some of your towing? Because I know I had a problem with my electric 500E, Fiat 500E, and they towed it to Phoenix. I mean, it cost me like $20-25, but your insurance might cover it depending on your plan.
So if you have roadside, okay, so that great question, producer, great question. So here's the deal. So if you have roadside towing assistance, there's two types of towing on your insurance. There's collision towing and there's breakdown towing. So if you're towing, if you need to get your vehicle relocated and it's in a crash, the insurance, and you have liability, or if you have comprehensive and collision, or, you know, car gets stolen, that's comprehensive. Fire theft, that's comprehensive. If the car gets crashed, if you crash into the car, somebody crashes into you, that's collision, right? Comp if it's stolen, collision if it's wrecked. A lot of it will, that towing usually gets, 99% of the time gets covered.
Cool.
I've seen insurance companies work their way out. So if your vehicle gets, for example, your vehicle gets involved in a collision, right? It's not drivable. You get transported to the hospital. Your car gets towed by the police contractor, right? Now it goes to a storage yard. It sits there. The storage is accruing. The insurance company goes, and they can have your vehicle removed. They can pay for it and take it away and take it to a shop, their shop or your shop if you choose. Or you can go down and get it taken care of. Now, when your insurance does it, they're going to make all the arrangements. But if you argue with them and fight with them, they'll tell you, oh, by the way, we're only going to cover it in a storage yard for 10 days, and if you won't let us do something with it, you're on the hook for the rest. So be aware that, you know, I mean,
they have their own companies they like to tow with. I know what you mean.
Yeah, they have their own people, you know, and every we do a lot for a lot of different insurance companies. Just like everybody that's in towing does work for insurance companies, because we go to different shops, we do it at different body shops, we tow all over the place. So, but if your breakdown insurance, so like you wanted to go to Phoenix, a lot of and this is really specific, this is where your insurance agent comes in play, because this is where a good agent will help you. We do a lot of work directly for insurance agents. So insurance agents will call us and say, hey, my client needs their vehicle towed, tow their car and send me the bill and I'll take care of it. Okay. Not every insurance is like that. And a lot of them that don't have, you know, somebody to talk to will just tell you, sorry, you have to go through our program, because most insurance companies have a third party dispatch facility that will dispatch a tow truck or repair service to you.
Wow.
Okay.
Did not
know. So for example, you know, you can request whoever, but the guy goes, yeah, sorry, I'm going to use this guy over here because this is who I use. I mean, it's my money that we're spending. I choose how I spend my money. You get the benefit of the service. You don't get to tell me how I spend my money. And just think about that. That's a big thing. I want XYZ to tow my car. Sorry, we don't use them. Why? Because they're not on our list, or whatever the case may be. Or I get a better deal with this guy over here, and he's going to tow your car. I don't want that guy. Then that's fine. Don't get your pay for it yourself, which is always your option. When you're towing under insurance, insurance will be, well, you know, we'll cover you to the closest repair facility. Well, I'm in Benson. Oh, well, good for you. There's a repair facility 1.2 miles from you. No. I don't want it to go there. I'm sorry. That's all we're going to cover. The other 34 miles are on you. So you might want to pay attention to that.
Hey, how far can you go usually on insurance? I mean, how far have you ever gone and the insurance has paid for it?
Another great question. How far can you go? So this is where an agent comes into play. How far, what will my cost be? Typically, it's 25 miles. Now, if you're a AAA member, you can go up to a AAA Super Plus member can go 200 miles one time in a year.
Wow.
200 miles. Okay, now remember that that comes with caveats. You know, you can't do it every day, and you can't the car you have to have the car set up in a certain way, and you can't just take it and drop it off the side of the road. Yeah, you can't abuse it. So 200 miles. So 200 miles from Tucson, Arizona to where? Where can you get in 200 miles? Well, you can get to Dateland. You can get to Lordsburg, New Mexico, is 153. You can get to Douglas. You could get to Nogales. You can get to Camp Verde, almost to Flagstaff. You can get to 200 miles would get you to, well 203 to Sholo. So there's a fair distance as you can get. So remember that if you're 204, you start paying overage mileage.
How much is it for each mile?
Depends on the contractor.
Oh, okay. So now it's up to the contractor. Insurance is no longer paying anymore. So, would you say that's more on full coverage, or would you say that's on liability, or is that something you ask for with your insurance agent?
Well, that's a separate. Like AAA is a separate roadside program. So that's on full size on regular roadside guys. Your insurance policy will dictate how far you can go. Again, why a really good agent, and I wish we had the State Farm girl on here because she could really explain this very well. Your agent can tell you what your policy will cover. You know, we'll cover you to the nearest shop. Well, what if the shop is 50 miles away? We'll cover it. You know, I'm on I-10. I'm at milepost 211, right? I'm just outside of Casa Grande. I need to come back to Tucson. Okay, we'll cover you to the nearest place, which is at Ina Road, 211 to the 248. That's what, 40 miles, 35 miles? That's where we'll cover you. Some are more lenient than others, depending on what you have. But like if you use an extended policy like AAA, AAA goes the farthest I know of. I don't know anybody that goes less far than AAA. I don't know anybody that goes farther than AAA. Most of the ones that break down now, Car Shield, they all have towing, but again, they only tow a certain distance, and you need to understand that before you call them up because you're going to get an over mileage charge, and sometimes the over mileage charge is more than if you just paid for the thing up front.
Oh yeah, folks,
because the guy has to discount it on the forward, so he makes it up on the back end, so to speak. But every program has its parameters. So for example, if you're under AAA and your car isn't currently registered, they won't tow it. Why? That's just part of their program. Your car must be a running, driving, operating car. If your car tags are expired, they won't tow it for any reason. It broke down. The tags ran out. I need to get it to the shop. Sorry. We don't do that.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
We're not covering that type of tow. Well, what do you want me to do? Well, you need to get your car registered. I can't. It's broken. I need to tow it to the shop. Well, sorry. Not our problem. I mean, and that's how crazy some of this stuff gets, So you sit there going, I it broke down last month. I didn't have the money to fix it. I got the money to fix it. I got my tax return back, whatever. I'm going to need to tow it. Registration gets expired. I'm going to take it to Jerry's shop. He's going to fix it up. I'm going to get emissions. I'm going to get registered. Sorry. We cross our arms and we stand our little stance and go, nope, not doing it. So now you're mad. Now you're really mad. Well, I paid you for this. Well, sir or ma'am, I'm sorry. You did not read all the terms and conditions, the 454 pages and the addendum, which clearly stated when you electronically DocuSign that you agreed to all these terms and conditions. And on page 37, lines 4, section D, said if the vehicle's not registered, we're not covering the towing. Did you see that part? Let me highlight it for you now.
So does that mean with insurance or without insurance? I mean, are you talking just any car that's not registered you will not tow, or just
no,
the insurance
won't
cover
it? No, no, no. That's That's AAA. The other insurances don't care.
Okay.
So that's what I'm. What, maybe I'm not making it. Maybe I'm saying it.
No, I hear you.
Improperly.
I hear you.
So I don't know. I mean, I could be confusing everybody out there. Your insurance has specific coverages. Just like if you buy a liability, you're only covered for damage to you and people. If you buy liability, comprehensive, and collision, then your vehicle's covered. So certain, if you buy a roadside protection policy, there are certain coverages in that policy that you need to be fully aware of.
Oh.
And they're all different. Some of them will cover you 20 miles. Some of them will cover you 2 miles. Some of them will cover you. Some of them will cover you for a lockout.
Wow.
Some of them will cover you for a service tech to come and try and unlock your car, but some will not cover a locksmith. Some of them will cover a locksmith to unlock your car, but then you would have to pay for locked keys. Some of them will pay for locked keys,
right,
including fobs. You know, so kind of like an extended warranty on your vehicle. That every policy is different, and they've all got their caveats, and you have to really, really pay attention. Again, if you're buying insurance, car insurance, and you want roadside assistance on your car insurance, discuss it with your agent. If you use the people that don't have agents, you're not going to get a good answer. If you're talking to the guy that's half a world away and English is not his primary language, you might not understand what he's telling you, like me. So you get your car towed to Phoenix, and it only costs you $25, which is great because Tesla usually give us like 50 miles. I think they'll cover 50 miles in their road program. After 50 miles, it's up to the customer, unless going to Phoenix is a service center requirement. So you take your Tesla to the Tucson Service Center, and I'm just going to use Tesla because it's...
Yeah, well, there's a lot of electric cars that are stranded on the side of the road, and it'd be interesting to know what it's going to cost to take it to the closest Tesla dealership.
Well, so Tesla's unique because Tesla's their own entity, and their dealerships, and I'm not knocking Tesla for their dealerships, I'm just saying their infiltration of the market is less than General Motors. General Motors has got two dealerships in Tucson. Ford has two dealerships or three dealerships. Dodge has two dealerships in Tucson. You know, Jeep has a dealership. So because other manufacturers have had a long time to infiltrate the market. Toyota's got two dealerships. You know, Nissan's got two dealerships. So there's a lot of places that you can go, whereas the electric vehicles are not. Now, an electric vehicle manufactured by General Motors, you can take the General Motors dealer. Okay, so
and Ford also, yeah.
Which gives you two options. A Tesla system, so for example, you take we tow your car to the Tesla dealer, to the Tesla service, and the guy up there says, hey, Victor up there says, hey, look, it's got to go to Phoenix. We got to send it to Phoenix. It's got to be, there's whatever. It's got to go to Phoenix, right? Although not so much anymore, but we got to send it to Phoenix. They'll cover that because their facility is unable to repair it in Tucson.
Oh.
Okay? For whatever reason. Now, if you're in between the two, if you're in Casa Grande and you're going to go and you live in Phoenix, and you're going to pay, if you go more than 50 miles, you're going to pay. If you're in, and done it a bunch of times, if you're in Las Cruces, New Mexico, you're going to get 50 miles. And you're going to pay the differential from Las Cruces, New Mexico to Tucson, Arizona. Las Cruces, New Mexico is 181 miles from Tucson. Lordsburg is 153. So at best case, if you got to Lordsburg and the Flying J chargers were broke, which I've heard a million times, and you got to go across the lines to pick up the vehicle and get it home, you get 50 miles. Or to the nearest charger. Now they might tell you, okay, well we'll tow you to Wilcox or Benson where there's a charger. Okay, well, here's the problem. You know, we're going to drive 153 miles to tow your car 30 miles. So, man, somebody's got to pay that 153 for anybody that drives a truck because the likelihood of you having somebody to do it, it doesn't work. Winds up usually coming back to Tucson because that's where the people live. So we wind up bringing them all the way home. Just saying.
I heard
a bunch of times.
Yeah, I heard by AAA they're starting to have charger trucks. Where they've had them probably about 5 years now, but in certain areas of the country that if your electric car goes out, that they'll actually come out and AAA will recharge your car.
That's... So AAA in Arizona does not provide that service.
Oh.
So AAA, okay, so so here's another thing. So while we're on this program, not that I get to cover the show.
Sorry,
Jerry,
bro. I'm sorry about that. It's an interesting question.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's a great question. Jerry's sitting there drinking his coffee, eating his scrambled eggs and his pancakes, and I'm sitting here starving to death. But so what happens is different areas of the country have different insurance coverages. Okay. Just so you know that. So State Farm in Tucson, Arizona, and State Farm in South Carolina are different. The policy, the programs are essentially the same, but they have different caveats. So AAA in Arizona has a specific group of people it works with, which is different than AAA on the East Coast. Now, there are AAA fleet. There are actual AAA fleet trucks that run. They do not carry chargers. There are companies that make charging units, and it's basically a gas-powered generator, and it's got a hookup with three adapters. I think it has the old school Chevy Volt system, it has the Leaf on it, and it has the Tesla on it. If I think I got it right, I could be off. And you roll out to the car, and you, assuming it's not at a charging station, or assuming it's not, it only needs charge because electric cars sometimes tell you they need charge when they actually just need the 12-volt battery charged, not the big not the drive battery. Anyway, you roll out there, you plug it in, and it'll tell you how much it'll charge them up, and it's like a level 3 charger. It's a gas powered generator, and it'll fire it up and run it. Okay, and you run the charger charges up the car, and away you go. It's an interesting concept. I've looked at it several times. Nobody has a program. There's no set. What do you charge for that? You know. So.
Do you think
do you think
tow trucks eventually have a charger on it that will help out EV owners eventually, or you think not?
Nope. Service truck. You have a service truck. You send the service truck with it. The service truck is the guy with the loaner wheels. He's got the generator. He's got the air compressor or the electric. Today, you use the electric impact gun because they're freaking crazy. They got crazy power to them, and a jack and a torque wrench, and then they do have air to air your tires, right? So that type of service is ran on a service truck or what they call light service vehicle. A tow truck, there's not enough room. You could maybe figure out how to do it. You'd have to put it on there. But now you're carrying a lot of dead weight around for a truck that's going to be in the wrong place. So you call me up and say, hey, Jim, I need to get my electric car charged. I know you guys have a generator on your truck. You know, by the way, that gen set is like $15,000. So, well, I've got two trucks with them, and one of them's in Phoenix and one of them's in Douglas. So what are you saying? I'm saying I don't have anybody way to charge you because I sent the guys away with the trucks because they were near where I needed them to go to. So if you put it in a service truck, a light duty service truck, then that's more likely to handle that type of service.
Interesting.
So then
Interesting.
you're providing, and then now what you're providing is a concierge service. So the concierge service comes with, you know, a charger if you need to, gas if you want to buy gas. I ran out of gas. You know, if it's a Malone coolant, you know, there's that type of service you could provide. Mobile, basically a mobile service guy. And then it comes with, you know, if I'm unable, my vehicle's broke down, but I'm unable to get where I need to go. Now you're a taxi service. I mean, so that type of concierge level comes, you know, at a price. And some people are like, cool, this is great. And some people are like, yeah, you know, I don't want to do that. I'll catch the bus.
The Cybertruck will do a charge to charge. In fact, they've also got a battery pack they can put in the bed of that truck, and it'll actually extend it.
Well,
but,
and Ford, well, you can do it off a of Ford. You could
yeah,
do it off
I
of
think
Ford,
Ford can
you
do it have, also, actually.
Right, and but there's a couple things. One, if you're pulling power out of your battery and putting somebody else's battery, that's great. Now you're going less distance. But that type of service is for a full electric vehicle. A full electric tow truck is not really in the works just yet.
Well,
why not?
I heard the Mack is going to come out. The Mack Bulldog, I guess they call it. That's going to be all electric here, probably in the next couple years. They're talking about. So
right.
it's coming.
And you know what? There's a lot of them that are coming that way. If you're running a box truck, it works great. If you're running a flatbed truck, it's okay. A tow truck doesn't work because the tow bed, the body on a tow truck takes up a lot of space. There's a lot of moving parts on it. And so it limits your ability to put battery and fuel cells in because the tow apparatus has got to go there. So, and it's a huge thing when we spec trucks. So, for example, the Dodge truck. You see a lot of Dodge trucks out there running around. Nice little F5500s out there running around. Dodge puts their fuel tank in the very back of the frame. Doesn't work in a tow truck. Body's in the way. You have to take it out, buy an aftermarket tank and pump and fuel tank routing kit to the tune of $4,000 to put the tow truck body on the Dodge. Because the manufacturer didn't build it that way. So when you think about electric batteries in a certain way, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you're not remounting electric batteries. You're not moving them from their desired location for probably a plethora of reasons. Electric shock, wiring, placement. I mean, there's probably a million reasons why you're not moving electric batteries, and probably for a good thing. You know, fuel tanks, okay, you can probably redo that. It's not such a big deal. But electric batteries, you're not going to relocate. So now either the tow truck body has to be redesigned to work on a electric chassis, which, okay, now you're going to have the one-off that goes on electric chassis, or you use a diesel truck. It's interesting because diesel trucks today, and Jerry can attest to this, have emission systems on them. So they have DEF, they have SCRs, which is a big catalytic converter, then they have exhaust pipes, mufflers, and they exit out the back of the truck, right, or side of the truck. It is federally illegal for you to move, alter, shift, realign, or change any part of the exhaust system, starting from the manifold or turbocharger to its end pipe. You can't shorten it. You can't lengthen it. You can't relocate it. Even if you're not removing it, it is federally illegal for you to move any component of the exhaust on a truck, on a commercial vehicle.
But I imagine an electric tow truck probably would have better stability if it was well designed with battery placement. I imagine
tow trucks don't necessarily roll over. So now here's what you got to remember. So we'll run the electric tow truck scenario. So an electric Tesla weighs 6,000 pounds,
uh-huh.
Right? A Honda Accord weighs 29 to 31, so it's twice as heavy. So an electric tow truck, so there's specific guidelines in the federal government that says a truck can only weigh a certain amount and drive on the road, or it's going to require special permitting. Okay, so
yeah.
An electric tow truck is going to electric batteries. Let's see what it. Trying to think what Gillick told me their battery pack was.
Yeah, that's the buses. Gillick makes those electric buses. How many do they have now?
Told
8,
every day.
9. Oh, you tow them every day. Really? I didn't think it was
tow
that
every day. Yeah, tow them every day.
I worked for SunTran for a while, and I told them to go to BYD, and they chose to stay with Gillick. So
But they always use Gillig. That's Gillig's their guy for, since 2002.
Yeah,
since they got rid of Novus.
Yeah.
So you work at the South Yard or you work at the North Yard?
I worked at the North Yard over off of Santran. So
off of Santran Road, right?
Yeah, Santran.
So in the back lot, so if you drive through the gate, the service gate, straight ahead, directly to the east is the charging station. So there's 10 in a row right there.
Yeah, I've got pictures of them that when they put them in, they're about 400 kilowatts charging capability.
Oh, they're massive.
Oh,
yeah,
huge.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're Siemens.
They're gargantuan. Yeah, they're gargantuan units. I mean, they're big.
Oh, yeah.
They roll
them
up there. They plug them in. You know, they go, then they let them charge overnight, right? So, anyways, the Gillig battery pack, I want to say is...
I don't even know.
I think it's 1,200. No, it's more than that. It might be 2,000 pounds a ton. It's pretty heavy. And so on the Gillig bus, there's 2,000 pounds, 24,000. It might be less. It might be 1,500 pounds. 1,500.
Some of those guys,
some
of those guys don't know how to drive an electric car too. So a lot of times they speed too much on them.
Oh,
yeah, you gotta let.
No, it's. Look, you worked at Santran. You know the deal. You know why things break down. I mean,
that's
a whole other story. I mean, if you worked at Santran, you understand what takes place. I don't need to go over it with you. Anyway, so if you put back to the electric battery pack. So you got to put the battery pack. You have to custom fit a pack to the center bay of the truck, okay, so where the drive shaft is. Or you would have to hang them off the frame of the truck. So since the motors, depending on how they stick the motor, you could put a pack under the hood, you know, or assuming that they're going to motor drive mount to the differential. So if the motor is going to be permanently attached to the differential, they don't normally do that today. They do it with a half shaft like the Santran buses. They got a little drive shaft that goes between.
Well, they actually Santran buses have a transmission on them, which I thought, why are you using an electric motor with a transmission? Because a Tesla doesn't use a transmission. So that's the reason why.
Well,
either does BYD or anybody else.
Well, they do it for Gillig does it because. Well, first off, the Gillig bus uses the Cummins power system, power pack system.
Yes, it does.
The whole drivetrain is powered by Cummins, right? So Cummins said, look, serviceability means if we use a shaft, it's easier for us to buy motors that will fit this flange point, so let's go with that. It's a money thing. It has nothing to do with direct molding.
Well, yeah, Gillig's gotten a lot of money over the years, yeah.
Right, and Tesla says, Our products are solely ours, so we build everything in-house. We're going to make it this way. It's just a manufacturing technique. But on the tow truck or any truck that you're going to make electric, you have to figure out where to put your batteries. So you can't stack all the weight of the battery under the hood of the truck. And the reason why is because it puts so much – your front axle would have to go – on a light-duty tow truck would have to go from an 8 or 10,000-pound axle to a 20,000-pound axle. Just to carry the weight, per the guidelines, for the road guidelines. So, when you drive a truck on the road, cars not so much because they fall way under the weight limit. But when you start driving trucks on the road, road engineers are very concerned about how much pressure you put on the road. Why are we concerned about that? Because pressure on the road means wear. Wear on the road means road wears out faster. Means we get potholes. Jerry found all of them this weekend. Jerry found every single pothole this week. He drove across town and found every single pothole, right? He told us that in the beginning of the show. I found all the potholes.
They're pretty bad. They're pretty bad going down 22nd. There is potholes everywhere.
They're horrible. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
And
because
when it rains, it's a swimming pool. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know.
Job security. Job security.
Job security, yeah. You know, I mean. So when a truck manufacturer builds a truck, he's got to look at the federal guidelines and says, you know, when we exceed this number, when we exceed this much PSI per square foot of pressure on the road by a tire, we're going to have a problem. And not just here. We're not talking about Tucson, Arizona, and Arizona in general. I know we complain about the roads here, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. These roads are good. They're well. With the exception of the potholes, they're really strong roads. Go back east where they have 5-ton bridges.
Oh, my God.
You're not driving trucks over that stuff. In Michigan alone, they have trailers that have 10 axles on them because the roads are so old and so weak. You have to disperse your load across so many tires, otherwise the bridge breaks or the road caves in.
Well, they use a lot of salt on those roads too, so they tear down the road every winter and then have to build it back up every year.
Yes, but if that was the case, why wouldn't they? If they tore the road down every winter, they should be able to build the road with, tear it down to parade rest, rip it up, put some new AB down, put more AB down, so that build the road bed right. Because road guys today know how to build roads. These guys out here that build roads today are really, really good. Technology today in road building is phenomenal. It's way better than it was 25 years ago.
But they tear them down in the summer. Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But that doesn't mean that the road still can handle the weight of the truck. That's why you have, 20 tires on a truck. So that it disperses the load across. They call it the bridge rule, because basically you're bridging the road, so to speak. That's the way every car is built. Anyway, so when you build electric and you drive trucks, there's a certain qualifier that you have to spin within. You got to be within these guidelines, or you're going to pay more. Your customer's going to pay more. We're going to charge them more for driving a heavier truck, and you're going to pay, and we're going to charge you more because you built a heavier truck. So that means tires get more expensive because there have to be bigger tires with a big increased load rating. Axles have to be bigger because they have to handle axle weight. The weight rating has to be higher. Frames have to be thicker because they have to handle a thicker weight rating of the axles. Springs. Air springs, regular springs, brakes, all this stuff has to increase to accommodate increased load. And so if just sticking the battery in there doesn't work because you've exceeded the capacity of the truck, imagine the guy driving the half-ton pickup truck and he fills it full of gravel in the back and the thing's sitting on his haunches driving down the road. They exceeded the capacity of the truck. A manufacturer can't do that. They have their very specific guidelines that they have to work within. And every time they add a pound to it, they have to add another subset to make it safer. Because if you're driving, and folks, I can tell you, you're driving an 80,000-pound truck down the road, and you try and stop, it stops a lot. It takes much more distance to stop than a Honda Accord that weighs 3,000 pounds. Okay, it's just physics. It's physics. It's gravity and inertia. Everything has to do with it. Wet roads make it worse. Friction, all that makes it worse. So every time you add a new system to a vehicle, you have to increase the overall system to accommodate it and make it safer. So placement of electric batteries. I'm sorry if I'm boring people out there. Just call me up. And say, hey.
No, it's interesting. Go on, keep going.
But if you place batteries in the wrong place on a vehicle, your center of gravity will be incorrect, and your load distribution will be all wrong. That's why when we do tow trucks, we have to there's certain ways you load vehicles. You can't load certain vehicles in a certain way, or it won't fit, and it doesn't, and you can't haul it because it's too heavy on one end. Gillig buses are phenomenal about this. The reason we haul them on trailers. We actually have to put them on trailers to tow them, right? All buses get thrown on a trailer. So we have to.
I've seen it done. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Do it every single day. You want to go on a ride with me? Call me up. I'll take you out when I go for one.
Cool.
Do them all the time. So, but buses have a tremendous amount of weight in the rear area and less so in the front. But when they're carrying passengers, the load is dispersed perfect accordingly, right? And that's how they're designed. Remember, they're carrying cargo, just like a truck carries cargo. When we carry cargo, your load has to be set in a certain way. So when we run a truck, the fuel, the oil, the passengers, and the cargo all are evenly dispersed across the truck for proper weight, proper loading of the road. You start putting batteries at the front or the back and not putting them in so the center of gravity is right, then your load dispersal gets wrong. When you put a car on there, you got to put a body on top of this truck, and you got to put a car on top of that.
What if it was designed? What was the design between the axles or between the front and back wheels?
Well, so that was my point. So you put it. So where do you put it? You could put some in the front. So you have to have multiple batteries in multiple locations, similar to the bus. The Gillig bus has batteries on the roof, batteries in the back by where the engine was. The engine, there's still an engine there, but they have batteries up there. They have batteries on the low, on the low side of the bus too. They're dispersed all around to make the load work. So you now have to place the batteries in a certain place on the truck to carry to operate properly. So your load dispersion on the ground is proper. Okay, so now where do you put those? Well, if you put them in between the frame. Well, okay, so on a tow truck, you can't. The tow truck body has to have hydraulic oil to work the hydraulic bed.
Oh.
So they put the tank. They put the tank in the middle of the body. Okay, so now you're going to relocate that. I'm not saying it can't be done, but these are the challenges they're going to work on. Now you have hydraulic lines from the transmission. On an electric vehicle, you're probably not going to use a conventional a PTO driven pump. You're going to use an electric powered pump now to run a hydraulic pump to run the hydraulic system. It would be unlikely that they would use hydraulic or electric screw motors to run the bed up and down. It's not impossible, but a screw motor or a screw jack to elevate the bed and lower the bed and slide the bed back and forth or lower any other apparatus is probably not. It would have to be so robust that the weight would just kill you, and the cost would probably kill you.
It's going to be expensive.
Hey. Yes, sir.
This is
you know
Simmons.
What? You probably need to get some ads here, don't you?
You got to get some sponsors in, right?
Don't forget your sponsors, guys. You're doing a good job. Just don't forget your sponsors, Jim. Talk to you later.
All right. So sponsors, you know what? We mentioned Lynn's Auto Brokerage. Lynn's Auto Brokerage up there on Stone and Grant, I believe. Stone and Grant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, if you're looking for a new or used vehicle, go up and see Brian up there at Lynn's. You know, he's a really nice guy. They're really, really nice people up there. They will help you through the buying process. I've been there. They're great guys. 2101 North Stone Avenue, 520-628-7500. And also, coupled by them, Desert RV Service. You want to buy an RV, call the guys at Desert RV. Okay, folks, it's getting camping time. It's camping time. So if you're going to start looking for the fifth wheel or the toy hauler to haul your quad, go see these guys. They can get you hooked up. So just saying, automotive specialist, old Brian Full over there, Mr. Test First, Don't Guess, Ina and Meredith behind the Bookman Shopping Center. I don't know if it's still Bookman's or not. If you run across something that can't get fixed, I think you're in trouble because he can handle it. 3611 West Ina Road, 3611. I don't have Brian's cell. I tried to do. I have to find it someplace. Anyways, 520-5572-1734. Right?
Yes.
Easy for you to say.
Brian's cell is 520-237-3852. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Parker Automotive, 5101 East Speedway. That is at Speedway and Rosemont. Now, you're driving down Speedway and Rosemont, do not get distracted by the gentleman's club on the southeast corner. Okay. Yeah, they're on the northeast corner. Just saying, folks. Now, if you want to go over there and have Scott and those guys work on your car and you want to go across the street, don't tell us about it. Or tell us about it. We don't really care, you know. go over there, see Scott, and get your car worked on. You know, what Scott's saying, do a little bit all the time and you'll have great shape. And that comes to oil changes. Do an oil change. I don't know any mechanic that will tell you that's not the best, cheapest maintenance you can do. Of all the things you can do, change
that's
your
right.
oil. New car, synthetic oils are, you know, I used to cringe, but it's really it's come down substantially in price because people are using it more. You know, so it's $36 or $45 at your local store. Online, it might be a little cheaper. You want to buy bulk, if you want to buy bulk, I can hook you up with the bulk girl, get you Phillips 66 oil if you don't want to buy AMS oil. And it's a lot cheaper. It's significantly cheaper. You know, but if you're going to do 55 gallons worth of oil, you better be doing some oil change. Go over there and get their oil changed. Mm-hmm. Just change your oil. And you know what? Jerry made a great point in the first part of this show. Get a receipt. Get a receipt. Do not mess up and not get a receipt, because I'm going to tell you something. He's 100% right. There's a way they can get out of not paying for it. It's going to happen, especially a manufacturer.
Yep.
5101 East Speedway, 520-323-1960. You know, the same age as Jerry's second car. And, of course, our patriarch, Simmons Automotive and Drive Shaft, Simmons Automotive, corner of Ajo and Country Club, northeast corner Ajo and Country Club, okay? Kind of. It's more on Country Club than Ajo, but go down Country Club, you'll run right into it. Go in there and see Wade and the guys. 3743 South Country Club Road, 520-884-0217, 520-884-0217. If you got Drive Shaft, need Drive Shaft this year, you're good to go. Go in there and see Wade. Like I said, they'll get you taken care of. Ina Road, Ina Spectrum Road, Colina, Javier. I don't know how his address. Ina Spectrum Road, Colina. Go over and see Javier and the guys. And of course, you know me, Frontier Towing, 520-748-1100. 520-748-1100. Call us if you want to talk about electric cars, electric towing, electric tow trucks.
Merle's Automotive.
Merle's Automotive. You're right. Merle's Automotive. Ajo and Dodge. 520-884-7202. Wow, look at that. I need that one right off the top of my head.
You spend a lot of money with them, Jim, just like the rest of us.
I do.
Merle's Automotive. They got 10 shops in Tucson. Go to merlesauto.com. Look for a place closest to you to do business. They're good. They're reliable, professional, excellent counter people. Jim, thank you. You guys did a good job on those electric vehicles today. I really enjoyed this show.
It's really interesting. Thank you, Jerry.
Just fine.
All right, you guys. All right, guys. I got to relax on the first half hour. So.